It is so much easier to do comedy as a woman here than it is in other cities. Just so much easier.
From the Coin Podcast Network studios in Portland, Oregon, this is Six Questions with Emily Burris and Ian Costello.
What up?
Howdy, howdy.
How are you?
Tired. This has been a nonstop week. I mean,
yes,
lots of fun things in the works, but it feels like August just decided to be here. How is it August, by the way?
because time.
Time is, I don't know.
I don't know.
Both fleeting and lasting forever lately.
Are you rolling?
I am.
So, no real point in avoiding this off the top here. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about comedy, but we're going to talk about sex.
Well, I guess. Okay. So, well, first, I'm going to introduce today's podcast guest and preface our conversation here today with just a quick little content warning. Parents, I don't know if Six Questions has become a family-friendly activity that you all enjoy in the car. But if you've got the kiddos around, you might want to just download this one and save it for later. We are tackling some more adult content than what we have done in previous episodes. So I just wanted to, you know, disclaimer, put that out there for anybody who might be, you know.
Both in the comedy realm and the exotic dancing realm, we're kind of working blue this week.
Yeah, a little bit. But I'm really excited that we have this platform to talk about this because we covered some really interesting stuff. So Wendy Weiss is, she's a Portlander. She's a certified drug and alcohol counselor. She's a sex work advocate. She's also a stripper and a comedian. She's become a staple in Portland's comedy scene and in Portland's strip club scene. And I had a really fun time chatting with her this week.
What did you find the most surprising about your conversation? And I don't want to give anything away. We can talk about it again at the end. But in the form of a little bit of a tease, what really caught you about what she had to say?
It's so interesting to talk to people who are in the sex work industry and to hear that point of view, right? To hear a perspective. One of the things, you know, I mentioned to her was I think you could ask just about anybody their opinion of stripping or strippers or sex work. And regardless of whether they have ever set foot in a strip club, regardless of whether they've ever been involved in any kind of sex work in any way, shape or form interacted with the industry, they will probably have an opinion about it, which they will readily give to you. You know, so I just think it's interesting because it is seen as such a taboo topic. It's such a hot button issue. But at the same time, it's something that is very much a part of the culture here in Portland. So it's really interesting to talk to someone who is in sex work by choice, who wants to be a part of this industry, who can speak to it from that perspective and talk about the ways in which it is really a career choice for many people and can be a very beneficial thing in their lives. And then also in the ways that it can be improved.
I found it interesting when she was discussing the choice. She made a choice to be involved in the sex work industry. And yet there's this other side of her. I don't want to say another persona because it's the same person doing both things that is really working to prevent the abuse and to prevent the trafficking and mm-hmm. to protect people, mm-hmm. not only protect people that are involved willingly, but really helping with the outreach to people who may not have made that choice.
Right. And just looking at the fact that like this has been throughout human history a part of society and will continue to be a part of society and how putting that choice and that autonomy into the picture can really change things up. So that's, you know, that's a whole interesting conversation. The comedy side of things is also a really interesting conversation. I mean, I was first introduced to Wendy, as I told her, when I saw her at a comedy show. And part of her routine was, so I'm also a stripper, you know, and that's and it takes people by surprise sometimes. And it's interesting to talk about just how she navigates both those worlds, right? How there are so many dualities in people. People contain multitudes. And I think in many ways, you know, she has really taken charge and owned all these different things and areas of her life and things she wants to do. And it's interesting to see how they intersect and how people react when they intersect. I feel like my first question to people these days is like, so how are things? And I feel like we've been asking that for like the last year and a half, but how are things?
Like just in general, in life?
Yeah.
Things are very complex, I think, as they are for a lot of people. I personally started a completely new line of work during the pandemic. So I've been doing that for about as long as the pandemic. So it's been weird getting into the swing of a really intense new job while things are going to hell. So,
right. Fun times. As if starting a new job isn't stressful enough.
Right.
Sprinkle in a pandemic. Sure. Yeah. So tell everyone what you do.
So I do a lot of different things. I, on paper, I'm a mentor and advocate for young people who are in the sex trade. So from ages, I think we do youngest 12, but my youngest clients have been like 14 to 26. So if they are minors, obviously, if they are being trafficked, or if they're above age, if they're doing consensual sex work, I advocate for a caseload of about 15 people.
Wow.
In the sex trade. And so then I also dance and do other kinds of sex work. And I also do stand up. So, and some sketch.
I got introduced to you through Portland's comedy scene. But I was surprised. Well, I guess I shouldn't say surprised, but I'm sure you get this reaction from a lot of audiences during your stand up routines when you tell them that you also dance, that you're a comedian who's also a dancer. What's kind of the reaction from people?
I get a lot of, you know, it depends on the people. I get a lot of, woo, good for you. I get a lot of those. I've had people come up to me after my set and be just kind of confused about where that fits into the grand scheme of things. I've had people, so you said you were a stripper. I didn't really get that. Like, what was up with that? And it was just kind of like,
and you're like, no, I am a stripper. That's
right.
It's not a joke.
Yeah.
So how did you get into both? We'll tackle one at a time. How did you get into both the world of like of stripping and sex work and being an advocate in that realm? And then also, how did you get into comedy? You can pick which one you want to start with.
Totally. I started dancing about a year before I started doing stand up. And before I started dancing, I was doing fetish porn. I was dating a guy who just produced fetish porn, and he was a really cool dude. I used to work at CD Game Exchange. Wasn't great at it. Not good at retail. Don't like it. And so I, for various reasons, stopped working there and I got fired and I was like, hey, I need a job. So I think that's how most people get into stripping. They're like, I need money, like right now. And I knew a lot of people who were dancers and I already did porn. And so my boyfriend at the time was like, why don't you just try dancing? And yeah. So dancing was very related to comedy in that, you know, nobody starts out dancing like good. There's a lot of people who are pole dancers and nobody who dances starts out as a pole dancer. They're like very awkward. So I just dragged myself across the stage telling awkward jokes until I could manage to pull myself up on the pole. So a year later, I had always been really into stand up and I really liked, and I had done some writing. I used to do a comedy blog and I had a friend, I met a friend who did stand up in Portland and it never occurred to me like, oh, like there are local scenes. It's not just like LA or like New York. Every town has like, to some extent, usually like some kind of stand-up scene. So I had a friend who did going to open mic. So I just was like, oh, I want to do that. So I did.
Yeah, I feel like Portland, Portland is kind of known for both scenes, both the strip club scene and its comedy scene, for being a city outside of like the big three, New York, LA, Chicago, right? That has a pretty thriving comedy scene. And then Portland is obviously known for its strip clubs.
It is. Yeah. Portland has, as everybody likes to say, more strip clubs per capita than any city in the United States.
That is a fun fact that I have enjoyed throwing out for my friends a time or two.
Yeah, it's out there. We have more lax laws. So
how is it working in a state with laws that have allowed it to kind of become a pretty prolific scene, but then also in a city that's pretty progressive, you know, how is the strip club scene in Portland from your point of view as a dancer?
I have not danced outside of Portland a lot. I danced at Jumbo's Clown Room in LA for a little while, which I really enjoyed. It's a great place. But I've danced at a lot of clubs in Portland. My experience is that it's nice to be able to work at a place where you can get fully nude and they can serve alcohol at the same time. It kind of seems like if you're working, in my experience, working at a place where they cannot serve alcohol because you're getting fully nude, which is what a lot of people want when they're going to a strip club. Mm-hmm. You're getting a lot of people who are like not there to like chill and have fun. They're there to leer pretty much.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy being able to work in a city where strip clubs are just kind of a hangout. You know,
right.
I think it keeps dancers safer and debatably maybe makes us more money. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know I've been to clubs here. It does seem to be very much like it's synonymous to a lot of people with just going to a bar, you know, whether you're starting your night there or you're ending your night there. It's a part of a lot of people's routines, but one that was obviously very drastically affected in 2020. So, how were things last year during the pandemic?
Dancing wise, I have not danced throughout the pandemic. I've been really lucky in that. Like I said, I pivoted careers like right as things were getting terrible. So I have not been in the position where I need to be in the club. So I know that, you know, people have gotten COVID in the club. I've been in the club like, you know, a few times, and it's just, you know, like any place, it's just really difficult to be in a place where what you want is contact and interaction, and there's this wall between people. So I know it's been really difficult for girls to make money in that sense. I do know a lot of girls, myself included, have pivoted to OnlyFans and online content, and that has been really enjoyable for me. That's worked out well. And but I miss the club a lot. I do miss the club a lot. So
yeah, you weren't in a situation like I'm sure some girls were, where it was your only source of income. And then it was totally, you know, basically taken away overnight almost.
Right. Yeah. I know a lot of girls were struggling. I know girls who, you know, were taking on other jobs, driving for Uber. And, you know, everybody has, I think, heard about Lucky Devil changing mm-hmm. their mode of operation, which was my club, to fit themselves around the pandemic. But I know that that was also a struggle too, because they did. Uber Eats, I don't know what they're calling it now, but
right, Uber Eats before Uber came after them.
yeah and they right they it still is like not an ideal thing, because you're taking girls out of the club. It's not safe. You're going to people's homes, like, and it's still not like strip club money. So you're kind of doing the work of somebody who's doing Uber Eats as well as being naked and, you know, dancing for people, but you're mm-hmm. getting Uber Eats money, basically. Mm. You know, you're doing
okay.
was my impression of it. So, I mean, it was a great thing though, to keep people working. It's just hard, you know?
Yeah. When you put it that way, it doesn't sound quite as fun. Uber money, but you're driving around naked.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So as someone who is, involved in, first let me make sure, like, terminology wise, right? Can I use stripper and dancer interchangeably? Is that,
yep,
like either one is okay, preferred, cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what would you consider stripping and dancing part of the sex work industry overall? Or does that imply extra connotation with stuff that's not there? Or how would you kind of characterize all of it?
It's absolutely like a big part of the sex work industry. I mean, sex work is a huge range of things. I mean, you could even consider to a certain extent, if you were so inclined, and, you know, this is debatable, you could consider working at Hooters sex work, you know, because mm-hmm. It gets blurry, because anytime you're a waitress and anytime, honestly, you're a woman, you're going to be objectified in literally any line of work. It's just a matter of whether you're consciously trying to make money off of it.
Sure.
The gray area. But yes, dancing is considered sex work. It's not full service sex work, like escorting. But yeah, it's definitely sex work.
Okay.
You're selling sexual energy, I guess I would just call it, you know.
So working as an advocate then for others in the industry, I know we've done some stories, you know, we've reported on things in the media about the problem of human trafficking. I think people are kind of shocked to learn that Portland is an area that deals with human trafficking. I think people are shocked, honestly, to learn how prolific it is everywhere. But what do you want people to know from working in this industry, from advocating for others, other girls and women, about the problems we have here in Portland?
I don't know that I would have anything Portland specific to say. I think just one thing about like trafficking, a couple different things. One is that, you know, it may seem like simple or obvious to some, but trafficking and sex work are very much not the same thing. They're very, very much not the same thing. And to conflate them is bad for both groups. Mm-hmm. To conflate them is to hide people who are being trafficked. And it's also to take autonomy away from people who do consensual sex work as adults, as people providing for themselves and as professionals. Yeah. And I would also say at the same time that trafficking is really insidious, and it's a difficult thing to sort, because a lot of people who maybe, for example, my agency might define as being trafficked would not consider themselves or identify as being trafficked. They would say that they work for their boyfriend, or, you know, they wouldn't say, maybe identify somebody that we would think of as trafficking as somebody who's trafficking them. So
yeah,
it's just really blurry. And I think, And it's all, which means it's all, it is really hard to like help people. And I think that's why people make such sweeping gestures to try and help people who are being trafficked, such as, you know, the sort of like banning of all like sexual content on social media, or all sex work on social media, or like SESTA and FOSTA, things that were meant to aid trafficking survivors, but have actually had like a really detrimental effect to the sex work community and have not really helped trafficking survivors. So I would say like the best way to aid anybody who is in that situation, I think, is, I mean, it really honestly comes down to money and resources. People are trafficked for many different reasons, some of them being complete and utter kidnapping and coercion, to like, I really need resources, you know, and a lot of times it's that they need resources. So my agency's perspective is to provide resources for people just wherever they're at, to just mitigate any harm that we can, basically.
It's interesting because, you know, it seems like, if you talk to people, I'm sure everyone would probably readily give you their opinion on sex work and if they think things should be allowed or this or that, or you know, it runs the gamut of opinion. But then a lot of that's coming from people who probably aren't really connected to it in any way.
Yeah, definitely. Or who have like experiences with sex work, not from the like worker perspective.
Yeah,
really vastly changes things. I mean, they're sex workers, strippers, full service workers are always, there's this idea of what it is like to be a sex worker. And that is often like the butt of a lot of jokes and like, you know, dead hooker jokes and stripper jokes and all that kind of stuff. And so I think people have this idea of what sex work is like that really lends itself to giving people the idea that it's 100% always detrimental and victimizing, which it's not.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear it from the perspective of, you know, people who are in the industry, and it is like, it is their choice. It is what they want to be doing. They are successful at it. You know, it's a different perspective.
And like, that's not to say like sex work is always 100% wonderful all the time. It's hard work. But at the same time, so is working at McDonald's. It's hard work and not everybody wants to do that. But sometimes you need money, you know?
Yeah.
And the best thing that you can do is like protect people while they're trying to make a living.
How long have you lived in Portland? Are you from here? Did you move here?
I'm from here. Yeah.
You are from here. Like born and raised?
I was born in Palo Alto, but I've lived here since I was a kid. So I lived in some housing projects in Southwest Portland. And I moved around. I lived in Fairview. I lived in Gresham. I lived in Salem. Moved back to Portland. So yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Wendy and I are chatting about Portland's comedy scene, how she got into it, and where you should go to check out some stand-up.
The Coin 6 weather team has the most accurate forecast in town, certified by WeatherRate. Coin 6 weather, watching out for you.
Hi, this is Jeff Giannola from Coin 6 News, and I'd like to invite you to watch Coin 6 News at 10 on Portland CW. It's our award-winning newscast, 1 hour earlier at 10 o'clock. A full hour of the stories that are important to you and your family from the news team that's watching out for you. Plus, Portland's most accurate forecast certified by WeatherRate from Chief Meteorologist Natasha Stenbach. See why more people are switching to Coin 6 News at 10 on Portland CW. Watching out for you.
When did you start to kind of feel like you were getting a grasp on comedy and being intentional about that?
Never. Actually, I kind of recently have started to feel that way. It is hard because like wielding that subject matter like has definitely, I think, given me some like cumbersome. It's made a lot of my like material kind of cumbersome because you have to like make things, you know, approachable for people. And, you know, sex work is not something that a whole lot of people have an experience with, or they think that if you're talking about sex work, then it's sort of going to be like 100% about that all the time. Where like, if somebody else mentions their job and say they're like an accountant, it's just like, oh yeah, that's your job anyways, moving on.
Right.
And they don't
tell another joke.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't become like the accountant comic, you know?
Right. Right.
But I think it took me also a long time to be able to couch certain things about my job in a way that was like understandable or relatable, or didn't like get people like hung up on like one facet of it so that I could like move on, if that makes sense.
It seems to me like it would be kind of a difficult bridge to make sometimes, just because I feel like women in society can often be pigeonholed so quickly, right? Like, it's, if you look a certain way, people assume that you're not going to be smart. Or if you look a certain way, people assume you're not going to also be funny. Do you find it difficult to navigate this world of like sexy and funny, and you're dealing with stereotypes all along the way?
Definitely. I have, one time I had a guy tell me that, pretty girls don't have to be funny. So I'm not sure if he was calling me ugly or funny. I don't know if that was a compliment, but yeah, that is definitely, I think, you know, an opinion that's out there. But I also think it's very much like changing. I mean, the way that a woman presents herself on stage is, I think, a lot more like salient than the way that a man presents themselves. You can't wear too much makeup. You can't wear not enough makeup. But again, there's always exceptions. You can do all of these things and make it work. It's just harder to navigate, I think.
With a right. Guy,
easy. Most likely no makeup, you know,
yeah.
Open-toed shoes.
They don't have to get on stage in heels. That's a whole thing in and of itself.
Well, they don't even have to think about the decision of whether or not they're going to get on in heels.
Yeah.
A lot of times been like, oh, I would like to wear this outfit. I probably shouldn't wear that outfit. It might be distracting for my set. But I mean, like I said, there's always exceptions. I mean, I last night wore like a fishnet shirt over like a bathing suit top and some like, just, you know, it was pretty like hoey and it went over fine. Really, yeah. Bottom line, I think, is if your jokes are funny enough, you can do whatever you want. But the trick is like, they're probably not going to be funny enough for quite a while. So you really have to like sort of watch what you're putting out there to, I don't know, not make people uncomfortable.
Do you feel like there is not necessarily a double standard, but maybe a higher bar for women in comedy, and not just in Portland, but like in general?
I think maybe a higher bar. I mean, it's interesting because I would say maybe actually like a lower bar, because women are not expected to be funny. But in a way, like, it's difficult because women, I think, are not given as much license to be like goofy and weird and like out there. So you won't see a whole lot of women comics who are just like Emo Phillips. It's just like a weird dude, you know, and you don't see a lot of women who have acts like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They exist, but like, and because that is, I think, changing, but women are not given license to be like, ugh, gross, you know, like if they do, then it's like, oh my God, women only talk about sex when they do comedy, or women only talk about this. You know what I mean? And then it's like, if you do want to talk about something that's relatable to you as a woman, then it's like, oh, it's woman comedy.
Right.
I was talking about something about getting my nails done. It was like a throwaway joke at an open mic. And I had this guy come up to me and say, I really liked your jokes. They were really funny. But when you started talking about all that woman stuff, I was like, I pulled back a little bit. And I was like, I don't recall asking you. And also, right. Maybe the joke's not for you. Maybe it is just for other people who get their nails done, because men can talk about things that are relatable to men. And it's like, this is for everybody. Women talk right. about things that are relatable to women. It's like, why are you talking about that? You know,
what do you think about Portland's comedy scene? Is there anything about this city that makes it unique? Is it a destination for comics from other places?
It is so much easier to do comedy as a woman here than it is in other cities. It is so much easier. It's weird because like I forget and then I go out and do comedy in another place. And a lot of places are like not necessarily, some places are like openly hostile, but a lot of places are just like you step into a room and it's like all men and the vibe kind of just changes. And it's like, oh, why is this person here? You know? And then it's like, I'm literally here to do comedy like everybody else is. Or you get on stage and you're talking and they all start like talking amongst themselves, not maybe about you, but like, you know, nobody's giving you the time of day.
Yeah.
It can be really frustrating. So Portland, like when I leave Portland, I appreciate it so much, even though maybe when I'm here, I'm like, this place.
What's your ultimate goal? Would you like to take it like elsewhere? Or do you want to stay in Portland?
I've been doing comedy for like 6 or 7 years, maybe about 7 years. And I think that I really enjoy being here and I really hesitate to go to another comedy scene because I am really comfortable here. At some point, I would like to move, not just because of comedy, but just to go somewhere else and be elsewhere.
Yeah.
Denver has a really good comedy scene and that is a potential destination. But there's another part to that question. You asked if I wanted to go somewhere else.
No, I was just asking if you wanted to go somewhere else or stay here, or, you know. Kind of how you feel about it.
I have no like comedic goals. Like I want to have my own show or I want to do this. It's really loose. I have like a social work career going on. I don't want to quit doing sex work. I have all of these things that make it so I'm not going to be dedicating myself 100% to doing comedy like some people do. But I think I want to do like I'm writing sketch. I would like to continue doing that. One thing that kind of sucks about Portland is that people are not like, they do not dedicate themselves to just getting the work done. You know, you plan, you're like, I want to write this thing out. Let's get the script out. And people are like, you totally do. Let's do it. And then it kind of like never happens. So you really have to like herd people to get done here.
I moved here from the East Coast and I do find the laid back vibes. Sometimes I really appreciate the laid back vibes. And then sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I have one of those moments where like, I'm walking here. Like. It's definitely a different vibe. So, I mean, growing up here, I'm curious, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but I'm just curious, like, have you had any weird interactions in a strip club with someone that like knew you from before you started dancing? Has there been any like weird stuff that's happened?
Yeah. Surprisingly, not as much as I hear from other girls. Like I will hear from other girls like, oh, I saw this person I went to school with, or I saw like, you know, a family member or whatever. I don't have a lot of family around, so that is not really a risk. But I did one time run into a teacher I had in high school.
Ooh.
Not surprising. I remember in high school, this is kind of like a side story, but this guy, he was my English teacher and he was like one of the cool teachers. And I remember like the first day he like slapped down the skateboard, like skateboard across the room. It was like, what do you guys think of that? You know?
Oh my gosh.
He was always pressuring people to read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. Then later he shows up in the strip club and obviously, you know, he was like, hey, how's it going? I was like, I'm not. No, thank you. Oh, I did actually run into somebody that I went to high school with, this guy that I had a huge crush on in high school. He played drums in band and I won't say his name to embarrass him, but he came in and I was like, I'm going to give a lap dance to this guy because he was recognized me. And then I was giving him a dance and, you know, I was like, I haven't always had like the biggest crush on you. And he was like, yeah, I was always scared of you. Killed the mood. I got to be very like, okay, well, it's good that nothing ever happened then. You know what I mean?
Right.
All right. I don't feel bad about not being able to, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a very different kind of high school reunion.
Yes. I got closure.
There you go. I get super awkward when people recognize me like in the grocery store. So I wasn't sure if you were always like, I don't know what to do if someone recognizes you. But I think that speaks more to just like my awkwardness as a human being.
Give them a lap dance. That's what,
that's what I should try. I'll let you know how that goes for me. So when you're not working, being a lifelong Portlander, I mean, what are some of your favorite things to do around town? Give me some recommendations. Like, what are some of your favorite parts of the city?
I really like going to like parks and stuff. I mean, I really like going to Forest Park. This isn't quite in the city, and this is kind of a weird recommendation, but I really like in it. I don't, last I checked, it was not open anymore because of the pandemic. I don't know if it's going to reopen, but the Bonneville Dam is just really nice to go see. It's powerful. Yeah. It's beautiful. You know, the Japanese Garden, the Rose Garden. I mean, honestly, I truly would recommend going to the strip clubs in Portland. I would always recommend that to people just because they're so much fun. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be one. I mean, of course, like Mary's is the oldest one in Portland. Courtney Love used to work there. And so that's like kind of historic. Mm-hmm. But in comedy, Portland really does have an exceptional comedy scene for its size. Mm-hmm. And it's very quality for the most part. So I would highly recommend that.
What's a good place to start if you're kind of new to Portland's comedy scene?
Helium Comedy Club. They have their open mic on Tuesdays, and that's where you can, it's lottery. So it's not just like everybody gets on. So you get to see kind of a mix of people who, and all the people who work at Helium, myself included, if they go to the mic, they will get on. So you get to see a nice mix of like professional and amateur and people who've never done it before. And it's a really supportive room. So it's just a really fun time.
And then besides Mary's, any other like beginner friendly strip clubs, or if someone's visiting Portland and they just kind of want to get a good feel of the city?
I would recommend Hawthorne Strip personally. Yeah.
Okay.
There's just like a really good crew of girls that work there. The staff is wonderful. It's owned by a husband and wife, very kind, like amazing people. Yeah. And I would just highly recommend Hawthorne Strip.
I never know where some of these podcasts are going to go, but these are like several topics that we haven't really gotten to cover yet with people. So I don't want to keep you too much longer because I feel bad. I didn't want to take up too much of your time. But anything else you wanted to chat about while we're here?
One thing I would like to add is a little bit like about the agency that I work for. New Avenues for Youth. I work for the New Day program, which is the program that works with people in the sex trade. And they work, New Avenues for Youth as a whole works with homeless youth. And I would just really like encourage anybody who is like under the age of 25 and having issues with homelessness, or maybe they do sex work and they don't have to be having issues with homelessness, to contact New Avenues for Youth. They have a lot of really great programs, counseling, you know, lots of different stuff, housing. Yeah. So I just want to like put my agency out there because they do really great stuff.
Would you call this like your day job?
I would call this my day job. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you said you started working with them. It was kind of right as things really took a dive with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Has there been an uptick in people needing help, obviously, over the last year and a half?
Yeah, it's been really crazy. I actually started at this agency as a drug and alcohol specialist because I'm a certified alcohol and drug counselor. And that was how I got in. But obviously, my heart is with sex workers. So I moved when I could. But so I started right before the pandemic, I believe. And then I changed positions. So my job is to like connect people with resources. And it has been so hard because also like all the workers and all these agencies have been working the whole time and they are exhausted right now. They're exhausted, just like, probably not as much as healthcare workers, but like I've been working the entire pandemic with people who are very, very vulnerable and made even more so. And it's just really difficult to get people services right now. So it kind of sucks because you have this whole mass of people who are extremely vulnerable and need help right now, like urgently. And you're like, I'm the person who can help you with this. And then I turn around like, one, I'm very new. I'm trying to learn all these resources. Two, they're incredibly difficult to access. So it has been a huge learning curve.
And on top of the fact that like different things are closed and different things are remote and contacting, everything has to be so, so difficult right now. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's awesome, some of the work you're doing. I so appreciate you sitting down to chat with us about everything from stripping to comedy to helping people in the community. This has been a really fun chat.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me. This has been really great. I always enjoy talking about all of this stuff. So thanks for having me.
And where can people come find you, whether they want to see you at the club, the strip club, or the comedy club? Like, where can people find you?
Well, I have a really odd mix of both of those things on my Instagram, Wendy_Weiss_. So I post my shows and, you know, any other content that you would like to see. I guess they could add me on Facebook, Wendy Weiss. I do post shows there too. So
awesome. Well, Wendy, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
For someone that could fall victim to so many stereotypes, she appears to not necessarily combat them, but she appears to be the opposite of them all of the time in everything she does.
Yeah, no, totally. I consider myself to be someone who is sex positive and progressive and, thinks that a lot of these conversations are super beneficial to society as a whole. And, you know, I caught myself in our conversation being surprised at first at some of the things she's said and realizing like it's so deeply, these stereotypes that we can have can be so deeply ingrained in our culture. And I just think it's so awesome the way that she has managed to find all of these different careers and push forward in a way that is just breaking barriers in every single one.
And doing a lot of good.
Absolutely.
People who dedicate themselves to helping other people like that, regardless of what they do with their other time, people who spend that much of their day helping other people, rock on. I'm a big fan of yours no matter what.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, Wendy is awesome. She is hilarious. Aside from, you know, doing so much good for people in this community, you should totally go check out one of her shows because I think her stuff is great and it's so fun to see. It's so fun to go see Portland's comedy scene, which, you know, as Wendy said, it is very diverse. I think women do have maybe a little bit easier of a time getting in here just because there are a lot of really solid female comics here in Portland who are welcomed in the community and who collaborate with other comedians and do some great stuff. So I would highly suggest that anyone who hasn't, go check out a comedy show. Go check out one of Portland's strip clubs and maybe you'll find that, you know, you had some preconceived notions or some stereotypes that need some changing on your end, too.
It's good advice, Emily.
Well, thanks, Ian. I try to offer some nuggets of wisdom from time to time.
From time to time.
Occasionally.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Listening to 6 Questions on the COIN Podcast Network. You can find our entire podcast library available on demand on COIN.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.